Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
And I discovered that, you know, if you really want to be happy, it's not the stuff. Although some of that stuff's pretty good. It's God. It's God first. And then, you know, enjoy the stuff too, but just don't get too attached to it. I have all kinds of stories to share with you about that. Jesus himself, for example, said, "Don't store up for yourself on earth treasures that thieves can steal, moths will eat, and rust will corrode." Remember he said that? He said, "Rather, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves can't steal it, moths can't eat it, and rust will never corrode it." And then he said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." So this is right from the mouth of Jesus. And what I was in college, I was a businessman. I was into investing. I learned all about marketing. I learned all about management. And I had a good business sense. So when I understood the teachings of Jesus and really believed him, what he was telling me was, don't be duped by the world. Invest your life in something that is eternal and lasting and doesn't fade, as I said. And that's what I gave my heart to, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I think most people, you know, we've all heard this message before, by the way, I'm just re-emphasizing it. I think most people, you know, they know that God is the one, and they know that God is the one that brings happiness, but yet their heart is divided. They haven't really made that real full surrender to what is true and what is real. Because as I said, these things, this is how we get tempted, it brings some happiness. But then there's the emptiness. But God, of course, brings the fullness. And I want to say this really quickly. It's in my book. Even God on earth will not give you the fullness of happiness here. That's something you need to hear right now. Because a lot of people think, okay, well, he's saying God will bring me happiness. He's the one. He's the one that fulfilled my heart. I believe him. That's why I'm a Catholic. That's why I'm a Christian. Well, how come I still feel emptiness? Because we're on earth. And you have to understand something. Until we get to heaven and we have the beatific vision and we're going to enjoy the peace and the joy and the celebration there forever, until we get there, really, we are going to sense some unfulfillment. But God on earth will give you the most fulfillment. And he'll never leave you empty. And you will always have a sense of well-being from God. And let me just tell you a little bit more about happiness and how I define happiness. I want to define happiness not as being the life of the party, not as telling jokes, not as out. You ever see some of these people, they're just hyper and telling jokes and life of the party and all that. And, you know, a lot of those people are depressed, you know, once they're away from people. And they're not all that happy as the way they look. And what I want to tell you is that's not happiness, folks. Happiness is stability. Happiness is well-being within. Happiness is a calm delight within. Happiness is knowing that you are on the right road, that you're in God's will, and that you're on the way. That's happiness. You don't have to be laughing all the time. It's an inside tranquility. And it's something I never knew before. Not when I was doing all that other stuff and the stereo syndrome and everything else. I didn't have it. But when God possessed me and invaded my life, and he's in your life too, it's just a matter of more and more surrender, that tranquility came. And as I said, you know, I'm not aggrandizing this like some preachers do. I want you to know that there's still a sense of unfulfillment in me. And what I mean by that is unhappiness. I'm fulfilled in Christ. But I'm unhappy to some degree simply because we're on earth. We can have a great degree of happiness in Christ, but to some degree, there's always a lacking because we don't have that beatific vision yet. But what I'm trying to proclaim as I begin, and this is the first step to happiness, is that we have to detach from things and attach to God. And that's what a religious person does. A call to religious life is a call to detach or detox. It's detach. And that's exactly, for example, what St. Francis of Assisi did. He's my favorite saint. Many of you love him too. You remember the story, his father was a wealthy merchant and wanted him to be a wealthy merchant. And so St. Francis actually started a building campaign with his dad's money. He started the dilapidated, because remember the cross spoke to him and said, go repair my house, it's falling into ruin. So he started rebuilding the dilapidated San Damiano's church with his dad's money that he stole from his dad. Well, his dad was livid and upset and mad at him. You know what Francis did? He went before the bishop, his father, in the town square of Assisi. He stripped himself naked right before them. And he says, from now on, he gave the clothes back to his father, the clothing merchant. And he said, from now on, I have no father but my Father in heaven. And I think Francis was one of the most, if you've read his life, joyful, happy people that ever lived. Because, you know, he had the partying and he went through all that. And then he came to realize that through Christ was his strength. In Christ was his joy and in Christ was his happiness. So we're talking about detachment and attachment. You know, you gotta leave some things behind and attach. Now, I'm not asking you tonight to leave your house behind and your car behind. You already got it, it's there. But let's make God first in the midst of it. And I think God gives us these things to be happy. You know, I, for example, I have golf clubs. I play golf, it makes me happy. Well, sometimes it makes me happy. Most of the time, I don't know. Anyway, I want to tell you a story about this one monk. He was traveling one time, he was walking the road, and he had his knapsack with him. In his knapsack, he had some interesting things. He had some water. He had an old crusty piece of bread. And surprisingly, he had a beautiful glowing pearl worth a treasure about the size of a man's fist. So as he was walking to town, unbeknownst to him, a man that was in the town that night had a dream about a monk who was coming with a knapsack with a pearl inside of it. And he wanted that pearl. So as the monk was walking toward town, this man came up and greeted him and he said, I want what's in your knapsack. He said, what's in my knapsack? He said, that pearl in there. He said, how'd you know I had a pearl in my knapsack? He said, because I had a dream about it. So the monk, sure enough, he opened up the knapsack, he pulls out this glowing pearl worth a ransom, a king's ransom. And he hands it to the man. The man takes it. He's like, he hoards it, and he runs back to his house, and he's so happy. Now he's got this treasure, this pearl of great value. And he puts it on his table, and he's jumping up and down, and he's thinking of all the things that he's going to do, and he's so happy. He could barely get to sleep that night. And as he started to go to sleep, he was kind of wrestling and struggling, and then he did get to sleep, and he wakes up, and he's really troubled. And he's having a lot of anxiety, and he's having a lot of stress. And he goes back to the monk. And so the monk says, well, did the pearl make you happy? And the man says, well, no, to be honest with you, no, it didn't make me happy. And he said, I barely slept at all. He said, I woke up all troubled this morning and thinking about all these different things. And he said, this is what I want. He says, yes, what do you want? He said, I want what you have that allowed you to give me that pearl. See, I think happiness doesn't lie in things. It lies in a heart attitude toward God and detachment and generosity and giving. So I've called you here tonight to talk about happiness. And however you do it, pursue it. And I'm talking about pursuing it by seeking your relationship with God, listening to your conscience, listening to God as he speaks to you through the preached word, through creation, through your conscience, through the word. That's why I gave you the word among us. And let's make a new thrust toward God tonight, that we're going to live for him. We may have things, but don't let your possessions possess you. Let the Spirit of God possess you. Now, that's the first thing I've discovered about happiness. That's the first key. And here's the second key. And it has to do with your choices and your attitude. You know, because we all have situations and circumstances. And this goes back to Paul. Now, we're talking about Paul, St. Paul the Apostle. It's the Jubilee year. We're delving into his teachings this week. This morning I talked about love. Tonight I'm talking about contentment, happiness. Paul was in prison when he wrote Philippians. We're not quite sure what prison he was in, but we know, because I've traveled over there and I've led pilgrimages over there and I've studied in Greece, we know that those prisons were dark, dingy, terrible, rat-infested places. Now here's Paul writing, penning this letter from prison, and he's saying, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, of having possessions and good things, and facing want of living in a prison with rats. Then he made this beautiful statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of people take that out of context. They say, I think I shared this at one of the other services, I said, people think that they can jump buildings because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or I can heal people, I can do all things through Christ. No, that's not what the verse means. It means that no matter your circumstances, no matter the trials, no matter what you're going through, you can face it, and not only face it, you can be victorious in them through Christ who strengthens you. And that's a beautiful, beautiful verse. That's going to be coming up in October, in one of the Sundays coming up. So listen for it. He's talking about contentment. And which tent are you living under? The contentment tent or the discontent tent? And a lot of people are discontent. We're talking about happiness, not as being the life of the party and running around and telling jokes. It's about, remember, being content and having an inner peace and having a well-being. That's why I named my book, Happiness, A Lifestyle of Well-Being. I like that word, well-being. You're well inside. You're not all distressed. You're not all frazzled. I remember my dad was a carpenter. he would build these most beautiful buildings. I used to work with him. And by the way, that's how I knew I had a call to the priesthood. I was a lousy carpenter, let me tell you. Wonder if that happened to Jesus, do you think? Anyway, so the interesting thing is, you know, my dad did so well in his carpentry and people loved his work. He really had all kinds of work. He worked for himself. And quite frankly, he made a pretty good salary. He made a lot of money from what he did, enough to certainly support me, my sisters, my mom, and keep us well. So anyway, he used to drive this big long van where he'd put a lot of his tools in it, some of the wood that he'd pick up and different things. But the van was old and rickety. And I mean, it wasn't a van that should have been driven by somebody that was making what he was making, okay? And I used to look at him and I go, Dad, why are you driving this thing? You could have such a nice truck. And he said, it works fine. You know, why get something else? I like it. And I used to marvel at his contentment. You see, if it were me, it would be like, okay, let's get the latest souped up, you know, pinstriped, beautiful van that you can get, the best truck that money can buy, so that when people see it, they think, wow, this must be a great carpenter. Look at the car he's driving, you know? Instead, he just kept this beat up van, and he was happy with it. And I used to look at him and go, you know, I want to be content like that. That's the opposite of the stereo syndrome, where you can't get good enough. He had good enough for him. You know, it's that whole thing, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm trying to live by that philosophy now. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why keep getting new and better and bigger and more? And it doesn't, you know, it's happy for a little bit, but then it doesn't really do it. So Dad really impressed me that way, and I'll never forget that. And really, it's a choice that he made somewhere down the line to be content. I remember one time I was driving with him and my mom, and, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts. And, you know, right about now, I'm going there. That's my next mission. I'm going from Oregon to Massachusetts. I got a week in between, hopefully, if we got power back in Houston. But I'm going out to a place called Longmeadow, Massachusetts to preach. And in October, that's when I scheduled the mission because that's when all the leaves change. It's very beautiful. That's where I grew up. So I remember one time my mom, myself, and my dad, and my cousin, we were going leaf peeping. We call it leaf peeping. And we were driving, and I was driving, and we were going down the road and, you know, looking at the beautiful oranges and the reds and all this different thing, and a truck was right in front of me. Now, part of my problem is, you know, I'm a type A personality, and I'm really, it's really good in terms of, like, I'm very conscientious, I get things done, I'm on time. You notice we started right at 7 o'clock. But the problem is, I'm addicted to getting there. You know, I'm addicted to being in a hurry, and that's hard, you know, because you just create a lot of stress and anxiety for yourself when you're that way. You know, when I get in a car, it's just like, I wish I had a helicopter. I don't want a car. I want a helicopter. I just can't get there fast enough. So I remember I was with my dad, and we're right behind this big truck, and we're looking at all these beautiful leaves, and I'm like, and there's a double yellow line. There's only one lane our way, one lane the other way. And I'm like trying to get around this truck, and my dad looks at me and he says, Cedric, just look out the window and enjoy. We're here. See, I was in a hurry to get somewhere, and we were already there. And I was all bent out of shape, you know? So it's like, and my dad was a special person that way. He had that ability, he had that easiness to him. Remember what Jesus said about his heart? He said, learn from me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think that's what he meant. He had that humbleness, that meekness to him, in the best sense. He had that ability to enjoy his life. And I'm growing, and I hope you can too. So what I'm saying is that there's somewhere down the line, there has to be a decision, and you got to take responsibility for your life there to enjoy your life, even the mundane parts, even the hard parts. And a lot of people, for example, they get married, and they're all upset because they thought that their husband was going to change them, or they thought that their wife was going to make them happy. And I'll say the same thing that I said about material goods. Getting married is good. It will bring some happiness, but it's not going to float the boat totally. It's not going to do everything for you. So what you have to do is you can't expect your husband or your wife or your circumstances to make you totally happy. You have to choose this. It's a choice, it's a major choice that you make. You've got to take responsibility for your own happiness. Religious life isn't going to do it. Traveling's not going to do it. Getting married's not going to do it. Really, you're going to do it with God's help. And what I'd like to say is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, there's a power in knowing Jesus Christ. There's a strength to enjoy your life. There's an endowment that comes when you're a believer, so that you can make good decisions, not get all bent out of shape. And one of the things he says in Philippians is, let all your prayers and requests be made known to God, and the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding will keep your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a peace, a tranquility, an inner well-being that will protect you. But you got to help God. You got to make good decisions. So I remember, you know, Dad taught me a lot. And just to let you know, we were driving, you know, I flew into Portland Friday. That was a trip in itself, you know, a big five-hour flight or whatever it was from Houston. Got picked up by my friends from Portland, Jim and Janice. They're back there with the books. And then we decided to drive over here on Saturday. And originally, I was going to have one mission in Portland, then a couple days off, then come here. Well, that mission got canceled in Portland because I couldn't get out of town because of the hurricane. Well, anyway, we get there and we decide to come down on Saturday morning, just a couple days ago. Well, wouldn't you know, I-5 heading south. Boy, it seems like there's a lot of traffic going on Saturday morning. What is going on? And all these cars are going by with these green flags with the Oregon Ducks or something, or is it the other one? But anyway, you know, it's and we actually stopped on the highway, you know, on this major highway. And I'm in the back seat, and I just said, I'm okay. I'm not all bent out of shape. So, you know, I made the decision not to get unhappy. And it's so easy to get unhappy by your circumstances. So, you know, you got to really help yourself, because the devil sets us up to get upset. And what's one of the setups? Slow traffic. I guess maybe I'm getting used to it. I live in Houston. I mean, the traffic there is horrible. So just to let you know, I'm striving, and I hope you are too, because really, you got to make good decisions. And let me just also say this. We're talking about it's your choice. It's your attitude that really is key. That you can be content with God's help, but you got to take responsibility, and nothing and nobody can make you happy. I remember one time I was on a mission. I think it was 2 years ago, and I'll never forget this, because it was one of those moments where God spoke to me. And I was out, it was right after Saturday night. Remember Saturday night, I made the call to the mission, I invited y'all to come, and then we usually go out to dinner. That's usually what happens. And these two elderly priests, I don't know, probably 70, 75 years old, were in this parish. And here I came as a missionary, senior priest, I didn't mean, you know. But anyway, we went out to dinner, and it was kind of noisy, it was kind of crowded, I remember that. And we're sitting at the table, and it just seemed like the conversation was bland. You know, they're just, you know, talking or whatever, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is really, what am I doing here with these two, you know, older guys? And I just, and you know, if you ever could see like a cartoon where they show what you're thinking in your mind, well, this was what was going on in my mind. Here I was sitting there at a fine restaurant, sipping wine, and across from me was a beautiful blonde. And I'm sitting there having this beautiful conversation with this blonde, and it was wonderful, and she's in love with me, and I'm in love with her. And I open my eyes, and there are these two older priests, and they're talking about, you know, and I've got this going on at the same time. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what am I doing here with this guy? And I was really becoming agitated and unhappy, because I had this fantasy going on, this in the midst of this. And that's when I heard the voice of God, like all the blonde. No, I'm just kidding. What I heard was this: Cedric, you are right where I want you to be. In other words, God was saying, you are in my will. And I realized something, that you know what? If I'm in God's will, which I am, because that's where he wanted me, he wanted me preaching that mission, he wanted me out with these people, not the people I would have chosen, well, then I can be happy right where I am. And I made a decision right at that moment to be happy. I engaged myself in the conversation. They weren't the people I would have chosen. And I have to tell you, the people that I live with back in Houston aren't the people I would have chosen either. I'm the youngest. I best looking? No, I'm just kidding. Best golf game? No. But all of our life's like that. We all have circumstances. We all have people that annoy us. We all have health problems. We all have circumstances, as Paul the Apostle said. And yet, he came up with this beautiful phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So look for that strength. You're in God's will. You're married. You're loving God. You're out here on a Monday night at a mission. You know, you're seeking God in a deeper way. Don't think that, you know, oh, Father Cedric's in God's will because he's a priest and he does that. Well, maybe, but you are too. So then, if you are in God's will, then accept what he gives you and make the decision to be happy right where you are. And I know you can do that. If Paul could do it in prison, you can do it. Through Christ, who strengthens you. See, the key linchpin to Paul's thought in the Bible is this phrase, in Christ. And that's a really important phrase that you need to know. We've been baptized into Christ. We come into communion with Christ. We pray through Christ. We're in Christ. And that separates us from the world. That makes us totally different. That's why you can't have happiness apart from that. So along with you and along with me, I pray that you will help me, and I will try to help you to make good choices in the midst of the circumstances and in the midst of the people. Because nobody can do this for you. And you can't be happy unless you take responsibility for your own happiness. Quit trying to make other people make you happy. That's not going to work. Or circumstances to be perfect for you to be happy. That's not going to work. Make a decision right now through Christ who strengthens you that you are going to have joy. You're in God's will. Father, your will be done. We're going to do it. And wow, you know, I'm not completely there yet. But it's working, and I'm getting there. Remember what I said, it's a journey, it's a process. Okay, so that's the second thing. Really quickly, let me go on to the third, and then we'll close. This is one of the hearts of my book. When we talk about happiness, folks, again, it's not moments that are fleeting. It is a lifestyle. Now get that word. Christianity, or in Catholicism, isn't so much a quote, religion, a place of philosophy and rules, as I said on Sunday. It is a lifestyle. It's something that you do consistently, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not just Sunday, every day. It's habitual, it's consistent, okay. Now it's a lifestyle where you become, now here's a huge word, become. I've preached whole sermons on that word become. You know, the butterfly, if you read my first book, Live Passionately, the butterfly becomes, where you become your best self. In order for you to truly be happy, you can't stay where you are. You got to change. You got to move forward. Remember what I said, we are on a journey from selfishness, and that's going to make you miserable, to you're always going to be crying like a little baby, to selflessness. And if you're not moving, and if you're not growing, and if you're not becoming your best self, then you will never find it. You will never find happiness.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.